You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears.
It's great to be with you guys again this week.
Yes, thank you for tuning in. Last week, we talked about stewardship. Actually, we're doing a marriage and money series because we felt it was so important that you all that are listening and our audience understands biblically the solid foundation that the Lord has laid out for us for marriage and for money and for money in general.
Right.
So last week, we learned that money is the number one issue married couples fight about, and it's the second leading cause of divorce behind infidelity.
Wow.
So that statistic alone is why we felt it was so important to bring this to the table.
It's a huge issue.
Absolutely.
And anybody that's, I mean, if you've been married or you're in a relationship, if money hasn't been a problem at some point in your life, you know, God bless you.
Right.
I'm happy for you. I mean, we don't wish any kind of difficulty on anyone in their marriage. But man, I'll tell you what, based upon our life and the people that we've talked to, it seems to be very prevalent as a high percentage that people are arguing or having a lot of discussions about money and not being on the same page and it leading to arguments and all those kinds of things.
And I think that I can say with some certainty that it runs the gamut from every income level. So we know people who are poor and fight about money or have issues. I don't want to say fight, but just struggle with how to handle it. Not necessarily about not having it, right? How to handle the money. And we know people that are extremely wealthy and have those same problems of how to get on the same page with how they handle money and how you look at money as a team in your marriage. And so it just kind of runs the gamut.
It runs the gamut. And what you're speaking to really comes down to a heart issue, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if you're wealthy or if you're struggling a little bit. It's the heart issue is still a heart issue.
The heart issue is the key. And so the Bible does talk about this. And I'm not going to remember the specific name of the scripture, the chapter and verse, but I'm going to recite what the Bible says about it. The Bible says that it's the love of money, not having money, but the love of money is the root of all evil,
right?
And so, again, it speaks to a heart issue, right?
So you're talking about idolizing it above the Lord.
Right. And so if you love money, the love of money is more important to you than to God and what He desires for your life and knowing that He's going to take care of you, then this is where we're going to have struggles. Because if I have that as an individual and I bring that into my marriage, that mindset where I love money, the love of money, and I just want things and I want what I want, and and you bring that in, we're going to have arguments.
We're going to have
fights.
Yes.
And so that's where we're going to have our challenges. So we've got to shift. You know, we've got to be on this new journey to shift our lives from, again, tension and struggle to peace and thriving.
That's right.
That's really what this money series, money and marriage series is about.
Live their life out fighting about money.
Yeah. And what we talked about last week is that we have to understand this is the foundational biblical principle that we're talking about and we're trying to repeat and get it into your spirit is that God is the owner. He owns it all. The Bible says that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
Yes.
It's basically symbolic that God owns everything.
Yes. We gave you scripture from Psalms last week about He created everything and He owns everything. And so that's what we stand on. And we mentioned that we have done this on our live broadcast. And this was at the moment in our live broadcast that we stopped and we said, if you don't have this in your spirit yet, please go back, hang out and camp out in the scriptures that talk about God owns everything. It is not yours. And let that settle in your spirit before you move on with these other teachings.
Because you're going to deal with fear. You're going to deal with trust, trusting God, all of these things, you know, surrender. These are the things you're going to be dealing with when you're really trying to really grab a hold of that first principle that we talked about last week.
Absolutely.
So once you grab a hold of that, what comes next? Well, it's unity.
Right.
That's what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah. So last week we talked about stewardship, and that really is talking about who owns it and we manage it. We're stewards of the money that God enables us to create and create wealth with. And this week, as you just said, we want to talk about being unified, having a unified front in your marriage to bring harmony to that place in your marriage, because we want you to have the very best that God has for your marriage. And He has better beyond what you can ever imagine or think for your marriage. And if you're still struggling on the money front, then you don't have His very best.
Right.
And so that's why we want to share this with you. And last week we mentioned that you and I weren't on the same page.
We weren't.
We didn't even talk about it. We didn't have harmony. And when we did talk about it, we argued about it. There was stress related to money talk, because basically I handled the money and you didn't want to have anything to do with it, only until we had a shortfall or there was a bill that couldn't get paid.
And here comes Mr. Fixer.
Or Blamer. Here comes Mr. Blamer, you know. So we argued, you know.
Did. It was so toxic.
It was so toxic. We were both selfish. You know, it was my money. It was his money.
Yeah.
We overspent. We seriously lived paycheck to paycheck, and we were deep in debt, and we didn't even talk about a budget.
No.
Didn't create a budget. And it's interesting to me that, you know, we talk about the generosity of people, and it's not our money, right? We are here to be stewards. And just a point that I want to make is, like, it's interesting to me to see people that don't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They may still have issues and struggles and fight about money, but they're very generous, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the more money you get, because when you don't have a lot, you're like, well, it's not mine. It's not mine anyway. I'm just a good steward. And then all of a sudden now you're a multimillionaire and now it's your money.
Right.
And so, again, it's a heart issue.
It's like this saying that I've heard is that, you know, it's okay to have money. But it's not okay for money to have you.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's what we're talking about. We don't want money to really, like, take first place in your heart and that it's actually controlling you. Money is just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may have talked about this before, but I'm not sure. But basically, money is neutral.
Mm-hmm. We tell money what to do.
Right. Money's neither good
or
bad.
Amen.
It's neutral, right? Mm-hmm. Really, it's when it's in the hand of the person
is
when it takes a form of something, whether
that's
it's
right.
going to be used for good or mm-hmm. it's going to be used for bad. But money is neutral, so it's a tool.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's a tool in the hand of the person. So here's a scripture that we want to read to you. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 10, from the New Living Translations. And this is what it says. I appeal to you. This is like my heart appealing to you right now. As the Apostle Paul was appealing to his brothers and sisters in Corinth back in that time, he says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Now, again, he's talking about more of church doctrine, church principles, beliefs, and things like that. But there's an application here for the money and finances. Mm-hmm. But rather, he says, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so that's really what our heart is here for you today, is that we want you to be unified in your thought and in your purpose when it comes to money.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the scripture is really saying in the context of marriage. Whatever you do in your life and marriage as it relates to money, have this mindset.
Okay.
We are in this together.
That's right.
We are partners. And we are a team.
And we can clearly say that this is not how we functioned early on in our marriage.
No.
But we want this to be your call to action.
Right.
We want you to say, as we did, we will surrender our lives to God. And that means everything, all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just surrender. You can. But God is either God of all, or He's either Lord of all or not mm-hmm. Lord of all. So if you pick and choose scriptures, or you pick and choose what you want to surrender to, then you're really not living out the Christian faith.
Right.
And we're not trying to point a finger. We've done that. So
yeah, we know.
So let this be your call to action. Say, I will surrender my life to God. We will surrender together our mm-hmm. lives to God, and together we'll do what He is asking us to do.
Yes.
That involves communicating, people.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time to renew our minds. So don't be discouraged. So keep pursuing this, and it will happen. It will definitely happen. Now, we want to share with you just from our experiences. So we talk about people seeing and looking at money differently.
Right.
So I would be what you would call a free spirit.
So these are mindsets.
These are mindset or personalities.
We kind of bring into the marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. So when in regards to life, mm-hmm. for the most part, and specifically for money is what we're talking about now, I'm considered more of a free spirit, where you would be considered more of the nerd. You're the number guy. Yeah. You're kind of hold a little bit tighter.
Just call me the accountant.
He's the accountant. I want to stand on a street corner and just hand out $100 bills all the time.
Yep.
Just because I know it makes people happy. Might not be the right thing to do, but I know it makes people happy. So I don't look, we don't look at money the same way.
We do not.
Right.
Absolutely.
But the source of the problem, it's not that we look at money differently. It's when I neglect to hear his input or he neglects to hear my input.
Yep.
For example, I might say, oh, he's handling the money. Since I'm a free spirit, I don't want to hear the numbers. I don't want to know about whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
Well, it's not fine because you need to let me know because we're in this together.
Yeah. And I need to hear your viewpoint and... you can't just dismiss the whole thing and say, well, it's my husband's responsibility to handle the budget and I'm just going to continue to do whatever I want. And then he can just deal with it. Well, that's not right either.
Right.
That's not fair.
Right.
So again, if you're going to be partners, you're going to be in this together, you have to work together and you have to understand that your mindsets are different about money and that you actually want to help one another through this so that you don't continue to live in tension and in difficulties and challenges and struggle. That's what we want to get away from. So for me, I'm like the nerd, right? So just because I know the details, right? I know the details about our budget. I do all the planning. I lay these things out. We use an app on our phone to really control all that. So my wife sees... you know, what we've budgeted for each category of things in our life, as well as where we've spent money, and she can see the running total. So there's, my wife is in connection with what's happening in our finances all the time, but she doesn't have to hear all of the details and all the rundown from me. She's the kind of person that's like, hey, just give me the Cliff Notes version or give me the summary of what our finances look like and what you see is the big picture items that I need to be aware of. Like, are we planning to go on a vacation and how are we saving for that? Or are we looking to get a new vehicle at some point? We need to be saving for that. She needs to know the big picture items. She doesn't need to know every finite detail. She can look at the app that we use together in order to see the details
along the way. And I have to know and understand, and we've agreed on this budget that we've created. So that was something that we sat down over a period of days and created our monthly budget and agreed upon that.
Right.
Some things are cut and dried. Your mortgage is cut and dried. We don't have one anymore. Our house is paid off, praise God. But, you know, we've got bills. We have electric bill, gas bill, whatever it is. And so we had agreed upon, based on our money that we've got coming in and how much we want to save each month, where our budget is. So that is something that took some time.
Yeah.
I had to just settle myself and dig in and do that hard work on the front end. And then from now on, unless we need to sit back and get back together and discuss finances again, like he said, he's just given me, hey, we ran a little over this month. You know, we need to tighten it up a bit, you know, and so that helps me to know, hey, you know, I can't run to the grocery store this week or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm more of the, you know, carefree spouse, if you will.
And because I know the details, what I can't do is I can't start using my knowledge of the details and boss you around.
Right.
And be insensitive to you.
Because
that's not loving you well.
No, because what would happen is you would start throwing that stuff out at me and all of a sudden I'm anxious and fearful and we're not okay and it's doom and gloom and I take it to a level that creates anxiety.
And you may think that I'm upset with you. And I'm honestly, I used to do that, you know, maybe not consciously, but I... You know, it could have been passive-aggressive behavior, whatever, but the bottom line is that it's manipulation, which isn't love.
Exactly.
And so I don't want to do that, right? So here's an example of how your free spiritness and my, you know, we've actually, like, taken our strengths and we've brought them together and we've kind of merged that to make it work, right? So I understand that Donna doesn't, she likes to have a little bit of fun money, right? Now,
doesn't have to be a lot.
No, but you know, as a nerd, I'm like, no, we got to save, you know, but she's taught me throughout this life that look, we're not going to take it all with us when we go,
right? That's right.
When we go to be with the Lord. So we need to be able to live a little bit too and enjoy life and not just be this, you know, frugal saver.
Take a vacation, never go anywhere.
I know everybody that's probably out there listening isn't in the same financial position that we are. You know, there's different people from all over the world listening to us and We're not trying to say you may be able to do exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, this is our story.
This is our story. But, you know, your circumstance and situation is a little bit different than ours.
Right.
But my point is that getting back to the whole loving piece toward our spouse, right? We've set aside a small amount of money for her to have, like, fun money. If she wants to go get a drink somewhere, she's looking or shopping for a pair of shoes.
Non-alcoholic drink, by the way.
Yeah.
Iced tea or iced coffee.
But she knows that money has been set aside for her to be able to do whatever she wants with that. That gives her a level of freedom and comfort to know that she doesn't have to ever worry about that. That money's always set aside for her to be able to do those kinds of things. And that's very freeing. Mm-hmm. And one that I hope through the process and as we've worked that out, it helps her to know that I love her and I love her viewpoint. And it's important. It's important to her and it's important to me. And so that's why we budget and plan for it. Now, again, not everybody's circumstances are the same as ours, but this is just our story of how we're trying to do this better and well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, but if one of you is seeking to be the good steward, which, you know, I'm not going to get up on my high horse or up on my platform and say that I'm the one trying to be the good steward, because I think we both believe in being good stewards of what God's given us. And the other is about spending money. As if you think you have a money tree in your yard or around your home that you're just going to pick money from,
right?
That's a problem. So you're going to if you have that kind of operation that one's trying to be the good steward, one's spending money.
And let me just add in: you're not having a conversation about it.
Yeah,
you're just going about life that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so if that's the case, you're still going to have stress in your marriage. You're still going to be arguing. You're still going to be fighting. There's still going to be struggles. There's not going to be harmony. And so what we're trying to promote here through this teaching with marriage and money is we want you to live in peace. You to live in harmony. We want you to live in a thriving environment, in a successful environment that you're working together as a team. Regardless of the circumstances that you're in, but if you're together in how you're trying to pursue finances in your life, that's going to work better than being separated in different viewpoints about it.
Right. So what we're talking about here is compromise and sacrifice. Each one of you to create and to have that peace and unity in this particular area of your life. And now this can apply to all, but we're talking marriage and money. There has to be a give and take. So I can't jump over into we're just going to save and never have a life.
Right.
You know, because then he might be happy with that because he's fine holing up and not doing anything, but I'm not. And so that in itself creates tension. He can't jump over to my side and we just spend because now I'm like not thinking about it and I'm happy and everything, but you're stressed out, right? Because now we're spending money. So what we're talking about... We're not living within our means. So what we're talking about really, guys, is you got to sit down together. You're a team. I don't care if you've got years and years and years into your marriage and you've quote unquote grown apart. Get back together, get yourselves organized and figure this money and unity, money and marriage thing out. Because God has so much more for you. And if this is the one and only roadblock that you have, then why not dig in and figure it out? Everybody, you can put 100 people in the room and everybody is going to look at money differently.
Right.
So just because your husband or your wife looks at money way different than you do, that's not unique just to you.
Right.
That's the same way across the board. You're not going to look at money the same way because you have different experiences and life experiences growing up and different things that you've experienced in your adulthood concerning money.
Right.
The key is, as what we want to do, is understand the biblical stewardship. It's foundational to what you need to do moving forward. You have to be unified in this because your kids are going to know it if you're not, your family members are going to know it if you're not, and it's just going to create tension. It's the number two reason people get divorced, guys. Don't let that be an issue. We don't want that for you.
Yeah. And so, your kids will see that.
Your kids are going to suffer from it and repeat the cycle.
Well, that, and they're going to leverage it.
Absolutely.
Oh, right? Gosh. So then you get into an issue, which it may lead into, I'm leading into next week a little bit, but basically, you can't let your kids run the roost when it comes to, or run your household when it comes to finances, right? But if they see that you're divided and you're not unified in your approach, and this is everything in life when it comes to parenting, if they see any gap or crack in the armor, so to speak, in how you're parenting them, even when it comes to finances, they're going to leverage that for their own good. I did when I was young. So you have to be smart about it, and you have to understand that it goes back to what our heart is for this ministry in general, is that we're trying to leave a legacy that has a lasting impact upon generations.
That's right.
And so what we teach our kids about money matters.
Yeah, and breaking those cycles going forward.
Absolutely.
So if Pastor Richard and I can do it, you guys can do it. We're no more special or any different from any of you guys out there. So you can do this.
Yeah.
And if you're having trouble understanding the unity part, I would still suggest to go back to last week's message and read it again. You got to understand that money, it's all God's.
Yeah.
He gave you the ability to create wealth. He gave you the talent to open that business. He gave you an entrepreneurial spirit. He gave it to you. He created it all, and it all belongs to Him.
Yeah, so let us wrap things up here with a scripture and just some final thoughts, a couple scriptures. This comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And this is, again, this is our heart toward you. And this is what our heart's desire is for you. Now, again, we can't want something more than what you want.
That's right. I mean,
you have to want this more than what we want it for you, right? Mm-hmm. We had to want this for our marriage for it to come about. So it's the same for you. But it says this, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. That's our heart for you.
Amen.
Having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, which is talking about the heart, right? And that's what we're going after here. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, right? So you're not selfish about money. It's not about what I get out of it, or I get to go do my hobbies. I get to go do this. I don't really care if my spouse gets to do what they want to do. That's the wrong thinking here. You've got to have a different outlook on this than that kind of outlook. But it also says then, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the other.
That's right.
So that's really what our heart is for you. And that's what we want you to grab hold of. And that's why stewardship, as Donna's already mentioned, is what's foundational here. Mm-hmm. If you don't get stewardship and you don't understand that God owns it and you manage it, then unity is not going to take place, right? Go back and rinse and repeat, do number one over again.
That's right.
So we have to realize that God, you know, He doesn't want money and things to be a higher priority than Him.
And it's so easy to put money on the pedestal and you don't even realize you're doing it.
Because, you know, money becomes your God at that point, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then you begin to serve it.
Well,
rather than
either
it serve
money
you.
Or the lack of money, because we've seen how
lack
of money is people's idol, and that's all they focus on as well.
Sure.
So that's not healthy either.
Right. Exactly.
So Matthew 6:33, we want to leave you with this, and we left you with this last week. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Yeah.
And this scripture is just, it's just plain and simple.
It's very plain
Seek
and simple.
God first. Make Him the idol of your life. Mm-hmm. He is your everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can surrender your heart to that thought and that concept, things start to fall into place.
Amen. That's a great way to end this episode. And we just thank you guys for listening. We pray and believe that it's going to help you, you in your marriage, give you a different outlook on your money and marriage. And we just pray that it has just a turnaround effect for you and your spouse. And so we love you.
We love you.
We
Thank
look forward
you for
to talking to you
guys.
Next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com. And send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.